Good morning, Bethel family, as well as all those that have tuned in via our live stream for this first Sunday at Bethel Bible Chapel 2021. Happy New Year to all. We pray God's richest blessing on each one of you and your families as we move forward into a brand new year. It's great to worship together, even while we were in provincial lockdown. Because of COVID-19, I'm sure you're sick of hearing those words, but because of the increased infection rate, but I'm very thankful that during this time of forced isolation, we can still meet together. Not in person, but we can still meet by the means of technology. And we are so thankful to our AV team. Some of you guys present and ladies present this morning, others that are watching from home, that have spent endless hours through the last year facilitating our virtual services. Thank you. Thank you. What a ministry we have here at Bethel moving forward with a live stream service to all those that can tune in. Well, it's been quite a year, 2020. If you had told me last year at this time, I remember speaking about the same time, if you'd have told me that we'd be sitting in leadership meetings during the year, deciding whether we should sing in church, or whether we should put only 120 chairs in a 400-chair worship center so we could have 30% capacity and keep ourselves 2 meters apart, I would have said you were delusional. But that is what we have experienced. This last year, we have, as a group and individually, have experienced personal pains and anxieties. Some are wrestling with important decisions regarding relationships and the effects of disabling diseases, health issues, recent losses. Some are wondering whether they can make it through the year without the companion that meant so much to them. Some are feeling the loneliness and isolation. Some are feeling the pains and limitations of old age. Some are wondering if their dreams and aspirations will ever be realized, or whether the new year will be even more frustrating than the last year with all that sense of futility. What lies ahead of us as we look forward? What will this year bring? I think we can all relate to the Magi. You remember the wise guys from a couple weeks ago from our Christmas program, The Miracles of Christmas? That scripture in Matthew 2 tells us about those Magi after their encounter with Herod and the dream given them from the Lord. Scripture says they departed to their own country a different way. Not the way they came, not the familiar road they traveled with all the special road stops and restaurants along the way. No, this would be another road. It'd be a different road, one that was somewhat unfamiliar. And as we embark on this new year, 2021, with all its unfamiliar paths, with the changed landscape, and all the uncertainty that's in front of us, one thing we can be is confident that our God knows what's ahead of us. You don't know, I don't know, but our God knows. And He's faithful, and the things that He's promised in the Word, His Word will come to pass. Regardless of a pandemic, regardless of a government shutdown, regardless of any of the things and limitations and restrictions this world will see moving forward, our God reigns, and He's a good God. True faith is trusting in Him completely. True faith is confident obedience to God's word in spite of circumstances and consequences. This faith operates very simply. and this is going to be easier said than done, but it operates very simply. God speaks to us through his word. We hear it, we trust it, and we act on it with confidence, conviction, and complete assurance, regardless of what's happening around us, regardless of the fears and conditions and circumstances. See, the unsaved world doesn't understand that because they fail to realize that faith is only as good as its object. They can put faith in all kinds of things that may or may not be strong and may or may not endure, but it's never eternal. But our object of our faith is the eternal sovereign God, amen? And he's the one that is a good God. Last week in our sermon, looking back, that Nicholas shared, and he reminded us from the life of Joseph and Job, that as God works in this world and in our individual lives, his sovereign will means all the plans he has is for good. God is a good God. To quote Arnold Summers, God is good all the time. Wow. And secondly, God is enough. He's enough for all of our needs, regardless of how severe they may seem or how severe they may feel. Whatever the uncertainty, whatever the challenge is, our God wants to show himself strong in our lives. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9 says this about our God. The eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth, searching for those on whose behalf he can show himself strong. That's our God. That's the one we put our trust in this morning as we look forward to 2021 with whatever 2021 brings. And I'm not going to make predictions, and I'm not going to say that I know. I can put only this path in trust to the one who is our sovereign God. As we look forward this morning, let's continue to do this biblically as we look back biblically last week. Let's look forward. There are many scriptures that give us direction in looking forward and moving forward in our life. All kinds of them through the New Testament, Old Testament. God directed kings and he directed judges and he directed those in priestly office. God directed his apostles and his disciples. But this one particular has encouraged me, and it's found in Hebrews chapter 11 and chapter 12. Let's read this together. And I was challenged whether we should read the whole chapter 11. And I think we will, because I'll try to read it quickly. But just get a snapshot. If you think the pandemic is bad, if you think what we're feeling and experiencing now is problematic, and I'm not saying it's not, what we need to do is look at history and look at what God has done throughout the ages to those that are his own. Let's read chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made by the things which are visible. By faith Abel, offering to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained a witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it being dead, he still speaks. I love that. He's still speaking to us today by the life and the sacrifice, the worship that he gave to his God. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, listen to this, that he pleased God. Boy, I wish that was my testimony. That he pleased God, but without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things yet not seen, moved. He built an ark in the middle of a desert for water that hadn't happened yet. Moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out of the place. Remember, God called him out of Ur of the Chaldeans, and he would receive an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. Talk about a road that was uncharted, a path that was unfamiliar. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah herself also received strength to conceive seed, and he bore a child when she was past her age, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, and him as good as dead, he was an old guy, was born many of the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand by which is on and by the seashore. These all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, were assured of them, embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. For those who say such things declare plainly that they seek a homeland. And truly, if they had called to mind that country from which they had come out of, they would have had opportunity to return. But now they desired something better. That is, a heavenly country. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared a city for them. By faith, Abraham, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he who received the promises offered up his only begotten son, in whom he said, "In Isaac your seed shall be called," concluding that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from which he also received him in a figurative sense. By faith, Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau concerning things to come. By faith, Jacob, when he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on the top of his staff. By faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the departure of the children of Israel and gave instructions concerning his bones. By faith, Moses, this is a great story, when he was born, was hidden 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. And they were not afraid of the king's command. I love that. They weren't backing down from anybody. They knew what God had promised, and they knew that God was before them and God was with them. By faith, Moses, when he became of age, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he looked to the reward. By faith, he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who was invisible. By faith, he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood, lest the one or he who destroyed the firstborn would touch them. By faith, they passed through the Red Sea by dry land, where the Egyptians attempted to do so and they were drowned. See, they weren't with God. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down and they were encircled for 7 days. By faith, the harlot Rahab, we heard about her a couple weeks ago, did not perish with those who did not believe when she received the spies with peace. And what shall I say? For the time would fail us to tell about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turning to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised back to life. Now, it isn't always a success story, but God is still sovereign. This next group didn't have the same victories, but they were still strong in the Lord and are given their reward. Others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, for that they might obtain a better resurrection. Still others had trials and mocking and scourgings, yes, of chains and of imprisonment. They were stoned, they were sawn in two, they were tempted, were slain with the sword. They were wandering about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented, and of whom the world is not worthy. They wandered in deserts and mountains, in dens and caves of the earth. And all of these, having obtained a good testimony through faith, did not receive the promise. God having provided something better for us, we see, looking back, the Messiah, the promise that came, that they should not be made perfect apart from us. Therefore, Chapter 12. There's no chapter ending here. This runs right through. There's no demarcation. This book wasn't written with chapters. Therefore, we also, that's you and I, that's the audience on live stream, that's everyone that parks Bethel Bible Chapel as your fellowship, everyone that comes here regularly, all those that we're reaching to this morning. Therefore, since we are surrounded by such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself. I love this. Look at him, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. And God will bless that amazing chapter as we look forward in our faith walk. Well, in order for us to look forward this morning, we're going to do a lot of looking around. We're going to look at biblical faith very briefly. We're going to look at or look back at the witnesses. We're going to be looking at ourselves. And we're going to be looking at Jesus from the verses that we read this morning. Let's look at biblical faith. Hebrews chapter 11, 1 to 3. It's interesting that three words are used here to summarize and explain what biblical faith is. The first word, substance. The second word, evidence. And the third word, testimony. These are the meanings. Substance means to stand under, literally to stand underneath, to support with assurance. Much like a foundation and a superstructure of a building, that you can stand under completely confident that it will stand secure. We have an engineer here who understands structure. And because of the mathematical equations and all the precautions taken at the front end, this building stands. Well, this is what faith is, the substance. It's assurance that complete confidence and conviction and assurance for future reality, what is promised will be experienced. Next word is evidence. Conviction from God that what he has promised, he will perform. See, this is a supernatural giving. This evidence is given to us by God. It says in Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 8 that even faith is a gift from God. See, the world doesn't understand this because they're spiritually dead. They're blind. And to them, preaching is foolishness. But because God has enlightened us and given us his spirit, we can understand that this evidence is true and it's right and it's from God and it's secure and it's assurance. Testimony or witness. These are the great cloud of witnesses, are those, as they say here, for the elders obtained a good testimony or a good witness. They are witness to us because God witnessed to them about their faith. They had divine approval on their lives and their ministries. See, faith is a very practical thing. Faith enables us to understand what God does. Faith enables us to see what others cannot see. And faith enables us to do what others cannot do. J. Oswald Sanders from Online Missions says this: faith allows us to treat the future as the present. Get this. Faith allows us to treat the future as the present and the invisible as the seen. And as Warren Wiersbe would put it, the best way to grow in faith is to walk with the faithful. That's what we want to do here at Bethel Bible Chapel. That's what Christian fellowship is all about. This is why we do small groups. This is why we meet as a church and we gather together as a church. This is why we have personal discipleship. This is what we would want. This is where what we would need. I remember my father saying so many times that you don't live unto yourself, Andrew. There's no Lone Ranger Christians. We need each other. We need that fellowship. And if we're going to be faithful, we need to walk with the faithful. We need to walk with those that have gone before, and we're going to learn a little bit more about that. The witnesses that have had the approval of God on their lives. We need to do life together. Even during a pandemic, even during a lockdown, even during times that are very different, we need to learn how to do life together, to reach out to each other, to connect to each other, because we are a fellowship of believers called to the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we're gathered to, and we need to gather together in whatever fashion is possible for us to be that church and that beacon of light in this community, in this province, in this country. Let's look back at the witnesses from chapter 11, verses 4 to 39. As we look forward to this year ahead of us, running this race, moving ahead, as we've titled this service, we need to look back at those that have gone before. These are the great cloud of witnesses from chapter 11 that we read about. Boy, what a rendition of lifestyle and situation. These are the heroes of the faith. They are not witnesses as if they were watching us run our race from the sidelines as spectators. That's not the idea here. Their lives are witness to the reliability of God and His faithfulness. They are not fans in the stands. They are those that have already run the race. When you go through the sports halls of fame, I remember going to the Hockey Hall of Fame in Toronto. I love that. I went through it a couple times. I'd go through it again a couple times. You see all the walls lined with pictures and the trophy cabinets full of names. These are people that played the game. They've already run the race, and they excelled at what they did. Those who pushed the limits of their talent or their gift to achieve notable status or championships or records. Last night we watched the race story of Jesse Owens. Wow. Under persecution and all kinds of adversary, here's a guy that stood up to the line and went to the 1936 Munich Olympics and won 4 gold medals. This guy was faster than light. And we're going to talk about him, but there was a couple things that Jesse Owens did and his coach told him to do that are things that we can exercise in our own life. But here are people in this Hall of Fame. These are those that are saying in chapter 11, go for it. You can do it because God supported me and He was with me. And He delivered me, and He was there for me, and He was strong for me. By faith, you can do it, and you can finish well. These people that we read about faced opposition and isolation, loneliness, persecution, imprisonment, and even death. The Lord says in the verses that we read that the world was not worthy of them. They trusted God. And now they rest in His reward. Maybe you can think of someone that was a godly example to you, someone that went ahead, who lived by faith and ran the race well. You know, we think about even during this time of isolation and what we've encountered in the past year of 2020, I would pray that the leadership here at Bethel Bible Chapel, and for us that are called ministry leaders, that we would be a beacon of faithfulness to our Lord, so that the generations that come behind us can look back and say, yes, they trusted God even when things looked bleak. They trusted God even when it was difficult. They trusted God when things were problematic, but they put their faith and trust in the one that was secure, the one who gives security. As we look ahead, we look back, and we're encouraged by those that have gone before. I think of even some of the older men of this chapel, Mr. Overman and Mr. Alton and Mr. Lidstone and so many others. I look back and I say, they were here. And they participated. And they made it their life. And I say, I want to be like those guys. I want to say at the end of the journey, I want the Lord to say, well done, good and faithful servant. We look back at these witnesses and we're encouraged. Now we need to look at ourselves. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 1, interesting. Let us lay aside every weight of sin, or every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance. In 1999, my wife Jennifer ran the Chicago Marathon. 26.2 grueling miles through the boroughs of Chicago. I ran about a half mile with her through Chinatown. That was my grueling attempt of running. I was pretty encouraging and supportive during that half mile. 29,000 runners competed in that marathon that year. It was October the 24th, 1999. It was a cool morning. As I stood on the starting line, I looked back at 29,000 people lined up with their hoodies on and their gloves and their toques and their running jackets and their warm-up pants. And the gun goes off and they're running. And as I followed the track, I tracked the running trail all the way through the district to juristic along the route. There were pieces of clothing everywhere. Boy, you could clean up if you knew your sizes. You could just, there was beautiful warm-up pants and gloves and toques. They were just strewn on the road, haphazard everywhere. It was just a mass of clothing. The runners were shedding what was weighing them down, things that hindered their speed. Pick it up. You know I can't speak without my hands, eh? We're having a little audio problem, so I'm going to try to speak with just one hand. That's the idea here. Good things in their own right, but they were holding them back, and there's things in our life that are holding us back. You see that with baseball players. They warm up before the bat, and they put the collar, steel collars on their bat, and they swing, but they take the collars off before they go to bat. See, if they left the collars on, it would be too much weight. It would inhibit or impede the batter's swing. The question we have this morning is, what do we need to discard so we can run the race and run it well? What's weighing us down? It could be anything that hinders our progress moving forward. This is a challenge to me in my life. They may even be good things. The decision is not always between good and bad. Sometimes it's between better and best. That is the sin. What is the sin that so easily ensnares us? You know, the Apostle Paul said that. He says, you know, there's all kinds of things that I have liberty to do, but not all things are good for me. The assessment is that we don't have 10 rules on how to live, but what we do is in conviction before the Lord, we look at our life and we look at the things that are in our life and we say, does this give glory to God? Does this help me in my walk with the Lord? What is the sin that easily ensnares us? I know mine. And I'm not ashamed to say that mine is the independence and the lack of reliance in the Lord. I want to fix things myself. I want to do it my way, and when that doesn't work out, then I go to the Lord. One of the ensnaring sins of the Hebrew Christians was the sin of unbelief. Yeah, they said God was faithful. They believed his promises were sure, but did they really trust in this? Do we really trust in this? Do we really have unwavering confidence in our God? The reason we need to get rid of the extra weight is so that we can run and run with endurance. Are we losing our focus? A lack of vigilance? No energy? Are our hands growing weak and our knees feeble? You can see the runners, they shake their hands and they get the blood flowing again. Their hands getting weak? Are our knees feeble? Is it easier to meander in the crowd of life than to run the marathon? I go walking with Jennifer, or sometimes when we're shopping, if and when we go back to stores that you can walk long distances through. And I say, where's the fire? I like to stroll. And she's walking like there's no tomorrow.
Are we satisfied with just meandering along the road, or do we want to run the marathon of life that's before us? Hebrews chapter 12, verses 12 to 13 says this. Therefore, strengthen the hands which hang down and the feeble knees, and make straight the paths for your feet, so that what is lame may be not be dislocated, but rather healed. Hebrews 10 and verse 23 says this. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, without meandering, without going on the sidelines. For he who is promised is faithful. Praise God that we're not in this race on our own speed and our own power. That we're doing this through the power of the Holy Spirit in our life. God in us, the hope of glory. Well, who is this one that's faithful? Well, it's looking to Jesus, Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. What an example of faith in racing and running well. He did everything that pleased the Father. What amazing that. Let's look at this verse. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. All our hope looking forward is resting in the person and work of Jesus Christ. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus as the object of our faith and salvation. First, looking to him only, we can be saved. In the book of Numbers, chapter 22, the story is told of Moses and the children of Israel, and they murmured against God. And they spoke against God and against Moses, and God sent fiery serpents into their group, and they put they bit some of the people, and the people were dying. Many of them were dying, and Moses implored God on behalf of the people. He said, will you save them? And this is what God told him. He says, you make a serpent out of brass, and you put it on a pole. You hold it up in the middle of a congregation of the children of Israel. And all those that look will live. He did that, and they did. And in John chapter 3 and verse 14 and 15, this is what Jesus Christ, our Savior, says. And as Moses lifted up the serpent into the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. See, this is the story of the cross. For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross. The God of heaven came down to this world to suffer and to die, that he might be the substitutionary sacrifice for our sin, to stand in the breach between a holy God that couldn't take sin and an independent, selfish man that chose sin in place of God. And he stood there and he bore on his body our sin that we might be made righteous by his death. Isn't that an amazing story? This is the story of Philippians chapter 2 that says that he was made in fashion as man. We just went through the Christmas season where we celebrated the birth of Jesus. He came that he might be the Savior of the world, that he might save his people from their sins. And he died on a cross and he became obedient to death, even the death of an awful cross. He is the originator and the completer of our faith, because at the end of those dark hours when he hung there, he said, it is finished. And he gave up his own spirit. He gave up his own life on account of our sin. And we, as a guilty, needy, people need to bow in repentance before the only one that is the Savior of sinners. There's no other name given among men under heaven whereby we must be saved. We need to look to Jesus. And I love the end of that verse, that he now sits in the power of an endless life at the right hand of the throne of God. We need to fix our eyes on Jesus. If we're going to run this race, firstly, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus for our salvation.
secondly, we need to fix our eyes on Jesus for the race ahead of us, to be the sustainer of our faith and the source of our strength. I love that story in Matthew chapter 9 of Peter. Jesus comes to the disciples walking on the water, and Peter, I love his impetuousness. I can understand that. He says, I'm coming to you, Lord. And he steps out of the boat, and he's got his eyes on Jesus, and he's walking. And he's walking well. And the waves are around him, and I'm sure there's some in the boat that are saying, are you crazy, Peter? There's two-footers out there. He's walking, and he's looking at Jesus, and it's as if he's walking on calm water. And then he starts looking around, and he sees the waves, and as soon as he takes his eyes off Jesus, he starts to sink. And that's what we do in our life. We take our eyes off the one who's our strength and our power, the one who is the omnipotent, omniscient, omnipresent God of heaven, the one who has promised to be with us and not forsake us, to be closer than a brother. And we say, oh, I can do this life on my own. I can handle this, Lord, and I can relate to this. I can do this, but I'm going to trust you only when things get really bleak, but I'm not going to trust you in everything. We get our eyes off him, and we lose our strength. Thank God for Philippians chapter 1 and verse 6. It says this, being confident, because God knows my heart and he knows your heart. He says, I'm confident that the very thing that he has begun in this good work in us, he will complete until the day of Jesus Christ, when our salvation is finally realized in heaven and home with him. But he's going to complete this work he started. Some of us, it's a little more work than others, but we need to keep our eyes on the one who is the completer and originator of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we look at him and we look at his life, we can be encouraged, because he suffered all kinds of oppression. He suffered the ridicule, and it says here that he was, he had hostility from sinners. And he bore all that, but was faithful to his Father in the work that he had sent him to do. As we look ahead to this future, this 2021, with all the uncertainty, we need to understand what the source of our faith is. The source of our faith is the eternal, sovereign God who knows the beginning from the end, and he means it for good, and he's good all the time. We need to look back at those that have been faithful, those that have had the seal of approval on their life, that have endured whatever they endured for the sake of Christ, and say, God is sufficient for our need. And he was reliable to them, and he will be reliable to us. And we look at ourselves and see what in our life is holding us back. What's weighing us down? What's making me less of a runner or less of a batter because I've got this weight that I need to get rid of? And then we need to look at Jesus. And we need to continue to focus on him. Firstly, for salvation. Secondly, for our strength. And lastly, for our hope of all eternity. That in the ages to come, he's going to show the exceeding riches through Jesus Christ our Lord. Imagine, that's what is ahead of us. At the end of this road, at the end of this race, there's a crown. The Apostle Paul says, I'm running, I'm forgetting what's behind me, and I'm running forward, and I'm looking for the goal, and it's the upward call when God calls his own home. So this is just a short time. This is just, as Dave Sarr used to say, this is the farm club. We're going to the show. We're going to the real game. This is just a farm club. In the farm club, can we be faithful? Can we be diligent? Can we keep our eyes focused on Jesus? Can we push ahead, looking forward, trusting him completely in everything that is before us? Let's look to him in faith. Let's just close in prayer as Darren is going to sing us or lead us in worship. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Lord, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the description and explanation of those that have gone before. We thank you for faith that was shown in tangible ways. And Lord, we ask for that faith in our life. We would be like the disciples who would say, Lord, give me more faith. Lord, we trust in you.
We ask that you'll be our sustainer and our help and our strength in the time of need. As we look forward to this year, Lord, we ask again that in all things you might be preeminent in our life and that we would give you the honor and the glory you deserve. Thank you for this time, and we ask that you'll continue to be real to us as you have already. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.